Saute the onions, grill some chicken. The taste buds ours, our finger licking. Tune them in now, give a listen. 'Cause the taste buds really know what they are dishing. Sunday mornings from 10 to noon, the taste buds hours are in your room. Tune them in now, give a listen. 'Cause the taste buds really know what they are dishing.
Good morning, and welcome to Food for Thought with the Taste Buds. I'm Carol.
I'm Steven.
As you can see, that is not Michelle today.
Not today.
Michelle is really sick. She's been sick for well over a week, and she finally went to the urgent care yesterday, and she's sick. She's home. So
we send her glad tidings and good cheer while she's home listening. Hi, Michelle.
Yes, she said she was listening. So yes, hi, Michelle. And Dad's in the house as well.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Well, you know, as usual, we have a packed show. Shortly, we will be joined with Jay Phelps, Ancient Fire Mead and Cider. Ancient Fire Mead and Cider. We're going to talk IPA beer style, and we're also going to hear from Randy Booth of Hobbs Tavern over in Ossipee. I did that on my live video this morning too, but it's Ossipee. And then, of course, we're going to first hear from Donna from Delaware. Always love to hear what Donna has to say. And top of the hour, near the end of the show, make sure you stay tuned because we are bringing back the deviled eggs. Craig and Kim will be in the house. Hopefully they're going to, I warned them to be on their best behavior. Wait, have you met them?
I've not.
Dad has met them.
Yes, I have met them. Very nice. They're a little different.
They're a little quirky. Yeah.
A little different.
They usually come in costume and stuff, and I told them no costumes today.
Yeah, I saw him in street clothes one. I didn't know if I was talking to him.
Right?
So be more prepared than Donna from Delaware?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yes.
Stay tuned,
yes.
Folks.
Andrew is going to love it. And anytime you want to give us a call, 866-823-1077. My number one foodie, of course, is my co-host today, Steve Freeman. Questions for him. Dad's in the house if you have any recipe questions. Again, that number, 866-823-1077. And so what did you do this week, Steve?
Well, I celebrated my birthday all week. My birthday
week.
Was actually Friday, and I went
Happy
out.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank
Happy
you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I went out with a couple of different friends, my girlfriend as one of them as well. Yes, of course, to the best one. And we just went to a bunch of different places around town, depending on. They all let me choose, but I like to let my friends choose because, you know.
It's fun. It's fun to see what they choose. I agree.
Right. Yep. So Tuesday, do you want me to get into detail?
I do.
So Tuesday was the first. My good friend Christine, we started out at the Crown, Manchester's one of the newest restaurants owned by Stephen Clutter, who also owns a chop house. We had a pretty significant dinner there. Everything was delicious. Started with a six-pack of oysters, which I loved. Christine doesn't do them. I did them all. great, tasty appetizer. And then I said, let's go walking around, get a little exercise because I'm still trying to maintain a healthy diet. And I said, I can do dessert. It's my birthday week. So we ended up at the Chop House for dessert and I think an espresso, which was super fantastic. Steven owns them both. Great restaurants. The Crown is really beautiful inside. Very open concept.
Nice
great
and
big
clean.
Bar. Clean. All you know? Tile.
Yeah, of course it's clean, but I don't mean clean as in dirty clean.
Clean feel.
But just fine lines.
Austere is how I would describe that architecturally. It's very well put together, and I love the tile work. There's a lot of tile, and it's the small 1-inch tile that is very decorative. So kudos to him, his design, and his team. So then Wednesday, my good friend Dennis, his birthday is Wednesday. We took each other out, if you will, to Chen's Garden for some sushi and sashimi. I can't remember all the names of the things I had, but they were all absolutely delicious and diet, healthy, lifestyle friendly. I have to stop thinking of diet. It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. That's right.
And then Thursday night, to top it off, I think one of the best chefs in the state, hands down, Matt Preventer at Technique, had
Matt Preventer?
I'm sorry, Matt.
I don't know his last name.
I can't remember his name. Sorry, Matt. But
I know Matt Preventer's at the Foundry, and he's
correct.
Also a great chef.
Yes.
But it is... Trottier.
Matthew Trottier.
There we go.
He's a couple years younger than I. We went to school together. Great job. Another six-pack of oysters and a real fancy mixologist sort of bourbon spiced herb.
Was Sean on the bar?
Is Sean a woman?
No.
No. So a woman with... psychedelic hairdo. And there was actually two of the staff had like a kaleidoscope of color in their hair.
Whoa.
I was like, this is rather interesting. Great job there. I love Technique. I don't go there enough. Sat at the bar. Great, great time. And their signature is the free bread in, I forget what it's called, whipped Parmesan or aerated. It's a glass jar with Parmesan that's like whipped cream.
You're kidding.
But it's actually Parmesan cheese, and if you...
I've never been there.
If you don't eat it right away, it sort of compresses down. It has a little bit of, I think, olive oil and salt and herbs, and the crackers, like, you know, the size of a notebook page, and you really, really dense, firm cracker.
Ooh.
Absolutely delicious. A real treat for your senses, your eyes, and your taste buds. And then again...
No pun intended.
Correct. Well, actually, no, I did mean that. And then we finished up the evening at the Bedford Village in Corks.
Corks, yeah.
Upstairs for dessert and a beverage as well. And I really like eating today. To me, eating out is more sharing plates and tapas style. I don't want a 40-ounce prime rib with a pile of potatoes and a side of asparagus.
I'm so with you.
I want to try six different things, mm-hmm. and I want to share them all. And I also want to go to two or three places while we're out, because having a family and having a life, it's tough to get out. So I want to see what I'm missing out on.
You took advantage, Steve.
I totally did. And, you know, we chose some really great places because I'm going out. We're spending dollars. I want really great food.
Well, so I can't wait for our date in January.
I'm very excited.
Going to Stages.
Yes.
We are definitely doing that.
Yes.
That will be very, very fun.
We were going to go for my birthday. Then we talked about it. I said, we should double date because it's a three-hour affair plus driving. And I said, this is a five-hour date. We gotta make this.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun, fun night out. Yeah, for sure.
And then Friday for my birthday, it was my employer staff party. It was about 100 people. They knew it was my birthday, so everyone sang to me, so that
aww.
Was nice. And then we followed up the party at our house with cocktails and social hour. So I was like, what a great birthday week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very
sounds,
nice.
Sounds like my son, Brian.
Well, no, Dad.
Whole week.
No, yeah.
For Brian, I was gonna make mention of that, because my brother, it's birthday month.
It's
oh,
a month,
good for him.
It starts on the 1st.
But a week, he's
his
really
is the
intense.
16th, and it continues. It's like the birthday. It's like the joke. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And if you knew my brother, he's so not really like that.
Yeah.
You know,
he really
pretty
thinks.
Humble.
It was,
his birthday.
It was a lot of fun because I won't go out to eat now for a couple weeks, probably till after Christmas,
because
I do enjoy cooking at home and being at home with the baby. So I definitely took advantage of it, and I was happy I did.
Fun.
Yes.
Well, we went to our first Christmas party of the year last night. We were over at the LaBranches in New Boston, Steve and Crystal, and what an array of food. You know, everybody brought a dish.
Mm.
I do have to say that mine was the hit.
Excellent. What was it?
It was the first one that got empty. I brought caprese.
Excellent.
That's like my kind of go-to kind of thing, and people seem to really, really love it. But I always twist it up. I have this certain dish. It's like a clear, you know, just got a little lip, maybe 2 inches high, and I put mozzarella balls in the bottom, and then I chop up. I love cherry tomatoes. I think that they have a lot of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Other than summertime, of course, when you get really good homegrown
sure.
tomatoes, I will use that. But right now, it's usually the little cherry tomatoes. Cut them up real small. Sprinkle them on top. I always grate a lot of garlic, you know, minced garlic, Sprinkle that on. Minced red onion. Sprinkle that on. Salt and pepper. Himalayan salt, of course.
Yes.
The ground black pepper, and drizzle with some olive oil, And then some balsamic. I do balsamic vinegar first, and I kind of let it sit.
Yeah.
And then when we're ready to leave, then I usually add feta, like crumbled feta on top. This time I said I'm going to do it a little different, and I did some blue cheese crumbles.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So I put a little blue cheese crumbles on top, and then as a matter of fact, we got into the car, and I go, oh, my gosh, I forgot the balsamic glaze. You got to run in and go get it, because I'm sitting in the front seat with it on my lap. And he ran and got that up in the, in the fridge, and a little balsamic glaze on the top. So It makes it even look pretty. Oh, and basil, of course, chopped basil. Got to have the basil on it. And I don't even use it with crackers or anything. I just scoop it and eat it.
That's right.
Yum.
You made that when we visited this summer.
See,
I don't think it had blue cheese
thing
on it, though.
I probably had feta.
Yeah.
I changed it up a little bit. But people brought so many different things, and it was what an array of food. My friend Barbara brought, she brought this. I'd never heard of this. It's a ricotta cheesecake. You make it with yellow cake mix.
Oh.
Yellow cake mix with ricotta and... It was really good. Oh, my gosh. I had like a couple bites of that.
Is she Italian?
I don't...
Because they have ricotta pie.
I don't...
And it's like a pie shell with mostly ricotta inside, and it's absolutely delicious.
It
is. And I've had it at Italian places, I was like, ricotta pie
Quish.
For dessert?
Quish. Sorry? Her last name is Quish. I'm not sure.
We'll have to get the recipe.
Yeah. It was really like yellow cake mix, though. And you could see the yellow cake mix.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was really good. And she also made a lazy man's lasagna, which was very good, too. But then there was like buffalo chicken casserole thing, all kinds of. They had a chocolate fondue.
Well, that's what's nice when everybody brings it.
Yes.
Your imagination really can go wild.
Yep.
We played Heads Up. Yep. Oh, boy.
What's this?
That's the Ellen game. What you play with your phone. And you go like, you're up,
yeah,
and they have to guess what it says on your head.
Yep.
Without saying the name, da-da-da.
Okay.
And then, of course, we did a Yankee swap.
So do you have basil oil at home?
I do not.
We're going to have to get you some because that's my secret ingredient for caprese salad.
Oh.
And that really kicks it up a notch because you can't.
Where do you get that?
Where did I get it last? The nicer grocery
Whole
stores,
Foods.
Whole Foods, the Concord Co-op.
Do you know about Celeste Oliva?
Yeah, they have. They
I
have
bet a, she
yeah,
must.
Yep, she has it. She absolutely
I
has
love
it.
Her
she has rosemary
olive
oil. Yeah,
she moved too. She's on Main Street now. I think on a second floor, and I have yet to go to her new location.
Yep, she could get it for you, but I've tried making it at home. There's a process to it which I didn't follow. Otherwise, the basil gets black. You have to steam it and ice it or something like that, and then sit it in the oil. But anyways, it's just a really intense flavor of basil that you can't get from fresh basil. As much as basil is like on my counter year round, basil oil is a nice little secret ingredient.
I have to get some of that. You know what? My favorite herb is cilantro. I love cilantro.
I don't like cilantro.
So you don't like cilantro, you love it, and you're a descendant of him. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So cilantro,
my mother doesn't like it either.
There's a lot of people, there's two types of people in this world. Love cilantro, hate cilantro.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
No happy medium.
Yep.
I wish I could remember everything I read, but if you don't like cilantro, there's like six other flavors you will not like. And if you don't like cilantro, it tastes like soap to you.
Oh, it's terrible.
And I love cilantro.
Me too. Cranberry salsa.
Yes,
I made.
Yes,
Dad, I made that. The cranberry salsa. Remember we talked about it last week?
Yeah, right. I know. You told me about it.
It was Steve's recipe.
Yeah.
I made a new recipe with it Friday night, and everyone's like, "Steve, how'd you make this?" And I told them, and they all looked at me. They're like, "We can't make that. Can you just sell us the cranberry salsa? Then we can make it."
Yeah, right.
I used the chicken I'm making chicken stock with, and just made a quesadilla, and I just threw the cranberry salsa at it. I'm like, bam, kicked it up a notch. It was delicious.
I did make probably a mistake. I made it too hot.
Oh, that's okay.
It's just a little too hot. But when we put it on the Arctic char that night, it was perfect.
I bet.
But alone,
yeah.
Because that's something I would take for lunch and I'd eat that.
Oh, right.
But it's by itself, it's just a little. I put a little bit too.
Did you use jalapenos or habaneros?
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I did poblano, two jalapenos. One of them I took out the seeds. The other one I didn't.
Okay.
And then I used some shishito peppers.
Those are like ridiculously hot.
I know. And it was just, that's what I mean. It was just a little bit too hot. For those of you tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Michelle. Although Michelle is not in the house today, she is homesick. She's getting better for next week. And I have Steve Freeman in the house with me and Dad as well. And we are going to go on a short break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined with, of course, Donna from Delaware. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with the Taste Buds, Carol and Michelle. Although Steve Freeman is in the house in place of Michelle, she is sick today, and Dad is in the house as well. And, you know, we love this segment. Like, we were all just on break getting ready. 10 seconds, Andrew's telling us, and we're all like, buckle your seatbelts.
Buckle
Donna
up, kids.
Is in the house. Hey, Donna.
Buckle your seatbelts. Hey, everybody. Good morning. Happy, happy, happy Sunday. How's everybody?
We
Don't
are awesome.
Steve's in the house.
Yes, I
Steve's
am.
Steve's in the house, yeah.
Hey, Steve. How you been?
I'm doing great. How are you, Donna?
I'm very well. How's the baby?
She's awesome. Wonderful.
That isn't she? I want to eat her like a ginger snap cookie. She's normal.
She looks exactly like Steve, the poor thing.
She does. But she is adorable. Like, I mean, she's eating real foods right now, right, Steve?
She's starting to eat foods, yes.
How old?
She's about 8.5 months right now.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. She's eating food. You should be giving her sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, green beans, everything. Just mash it on up.
She's getting it now. And she's in love with peaches and
fried
bananas.
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
No, hold it.
Turkey legs. Yeah, give it to her. Go on, give it to her. She look like a girl that she can handle it.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
You give her some biscuits and gravy, too.
Ooh, yum.
Or you know what? Give her some grits.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
you
grits.
Know, yeah, if you true. Get up here and visit us, Donna, and show us how to make some of those things. I haven't had grits since my friends from the South lived in the neighborhood when I was a kid.
Well, get your butt to the diner.
Yeah. No grits. I see you almost chopped off your finger. What was you chopping up? Carrots, celery, onion? What was you chopping up?
Shallots, which looks a lot like chopped fingernail, by the way.
Oh, you were chopping up shallots.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you can chop up some shallots, you can get that child some grits now. You know, go and give that child some grits.
I got to learn
sure
how
you
to make
it with margarine, not butter, though. Margarine makes good grits.
Really?
Yeah, creamy grits.
Okay.
Don't use nothing but if it tells you use whatever, put margarine in it. Margarine makes good grits. Don't use butter. Don't use nothing else but margarine. It makes creamy grits.
No interesting.
Kidding. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. So everybody
right.
good? Everybody ready for the holidays?
We are. I am
you
anyway.
Are?
Yes.
Am, are y'all yep. going yep. away?
We're leaving Christmas Day. Going down
you
to
are?
My mom's. Yes.
Oh, aren't you? You going to Florida?
Yes.
Aren't you the lucky one? You getting some fun in the sun, huh?
We are.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Are you getting some lobster?
You usually go away. Where are you?
I'm out of here.
Yeah, where are you going?
To the Dominican Republic.
Oh,
I'm out.
Fun. That's how
wait,
we met, Donna.
My husband speaks a That's little right. Espanol, so they're going to think he's right at home. What y'all think?
Say that again?
I didn't hear that
my
either.
My husband speaks a little Espanol, Spanish,
ooh.
You know. Come on now. You,
you'll have
what,
fun.
What do you have? Shredded wheats for breakfast this morning or eggs? What you have?
I didn't eat breakfast.
That's the problem. You not start eating breakfast. You hear what Terry said? You had mimosa, champagne, orange juice. Shut up, Teddy. It ain't no worse than what you fed me this morning. Guess what he fed me?
What did he feed you?
Bone broth.
Oh, we were just talking about that. Oh my
come
goodness.
On, y'all. I'm in here. Bone broth in the powder form. I'm drinking this stuff with wheatgrass, dried up wheatgrass. I feel like I'm a cow.
So you drank it like a cup of tea, did you?
I drank it like, you know, I was drinking a 40. I had took it straight to the head, and I went straight. You know, I took it like I was drinking a shot of tequila or something. I wasn't sipping that.
All right.
That stuff is nasty. Have you ever had it?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Because you know what?
Yeah.
Only a crazy lady would like something like that. Bone broth.
Oh,
I can't get down with it. It all tastes like grass. And I ain't talking about the kind you know, Bob Marley. I'm talking about grass.
All right, we need to get the show on the road.
Yeah. Okay, you ready?
We're ready.
Okay, all right. You ready for the recipe of the week?
We are ready for the recipe of the week.
Okay, all right. Let me get, you make me nervous. Here I go.
Stop.
Oh, Lord. Okay. You can have a blue Christmas while drinking eggnog underneath the mistletoe as you put up your Charlie Brown Christmas tree. As sugar plum fairies dance around in your head, poinsettias and twinkling lights with the smell of gingerbread, I find myself asking the question, can you really know what's wrapped in an egg roll? Or at least, can I find out what is really in a secret sauce? You know, that's all I want to know. I guess you can't help a girl from dreaming of white chocolate Christmas cookies covered in macadamia nuts. Well, if you need a break from all your hustle and bustle and buying and selling at Amazon and Target brought your way, well, here's what you can do to unwind with the recipe of the week: butternut squash soup topped with crab.
Ooh.
You'll need, nice and creamy. As you dreaming of a white Christmas, I'm dreaming of white macadamia cookie covered in chocolate. Okay, here we go. You need two butternut squash. You'll need 1 cup of carrots chopped, 1 cup of celery chopped, 1 cup of onions chopped. You'll need 2 cloves of garlic. I use 1/2 teaspoon of curry powder. I use 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric, 1/2 teaspoon of sage. I like a lot of spices. 1/2 teaspoon of thyme, 1/2 teaspoon of rosemary, 1/2 teaspoon of white pepper. Yes, 1/2 of everything, because 1/2 do make a whole. 1/2 teaspoon of ginger and 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg. Now, to top it, I use 1 pound of crab. I use 1/2 cup of green onions to garnish, and I also use 1/2 cup of chopped bacon crumbles. 1 carton of chicken broth and I ain't used bone broth because that stuff was nasty. 1 carton of chicken broth and 1 cup of heavy cream. Now, this is what I did. I cut the butternut squash. I cut the tops off and the bottoms off, and I cut it in half. I scooped out the seeds, and then I placed the squash in my crock pot, and I didn't even peel it because it's easier to let the crock pot do the work. So I put it in the crock pot. Next, in the aluminum foil, I placed my carrots and all my vegetables, my onions, my celery, and my garlic, and my seasoning in a aluminum foil packet, and I sealed it up, and then I placed that on top of my squash. I let my crock pot do the cooking. I put in a baby, like I'll put a cup of water at the bottom so my squash wouldn't burn. And I let that roast for about 4 to 5 hours in the crock pot. Once it was all done, I spooned out all the flesh out of my butternut squash. I placed that in a blender with 2 cups of the stock and poured in some cream and blended that up. Then I took out the veggie packs, placed that in a blender with 2 more cups of chicken broth, and let the blender blend it all up. And then I mixed both of those, the squash and the vegetables together, poured in some heavy cream, whip, placed it on the stove to let it cook or heat up because it's already been cooked. Then I placed it in a nice bowl, 1/2 cup of crab meat on top, sprinkled on some bacon and some onions, and that's how you rock around the Christmas tree. Ken.
That sounds pretty darn yummy, especially with a topping of crab.
Crab meat, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, or you could use lobster too, because I know that you guys get lobster up there, so it would be a really creamy, good soup with lobster or with crab on top, because it was real creamy, and I like the fact that I used curry. Curry made it gave it a little bit of kick.
I like that, because I do a butternut squash soup as well. And I like that you add all those different spices. Mine's very simple, but yours. And I love that you, in the crock pot, you put your squash in with the peels and everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it was easier. Because, chopping, I would have chopped my finger off like Steve did. I can't be sitting there peeling stuff. I can't do it. So I placed it in the crock pot, and then once it got all soft, then it was easy for me just to scoop all the flesh out.
Right.
And it was so easy. Everyone loves convenience around this time of the
course.
Year.
Of course.
And everybody wants a good, wholesome meal. And so you let the crock pot do it, but it's creamy. I love creamy soup. So it was a creamy soup, but the crab was what, you know, it topped it off with the red. I put some green onions on top and that bacon, and it was a really good soup. It's really hearty.
Nice, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Yeah. All right. Well, we got to get going.
Okay. You got to get going?
The studio is packed.
Okay,
and we got to do
a great
yes.
Well, have a great show. Kick me off. That's okay, because I know you treat me like a one-eyed stepchild, but that's okay.
No,
have
I don't. We love you.
Enjoy your show. And remember, life is for living and food is for giving. And Donna's got to make some crab and some butternut squash. Talk to y'all later.
Okay.
Keen,
right?
So that's a great trick.
Woo,
put the
it
squash
is a good
in,
trick. I really
get
like that.
Get a little
that.
Flavor from it, and then just scoop it out. You don't even have to peel it.
Yeah, I love it.
Because peeling squash can
I
be
buy
dangerous.
It peeled. I buy it peeled.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
There's just no way. But anyway, you are listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Michelle. Michelle isn't here. She's homesick. Steve Freeman's in the house. Dad's in the house. The studio is like packed. My mother-in-law is here. My father-in-law is here. My sister-in-law is here. And we're going to go on a short break. And we have Jay Phelps here of Ancient Fire Meat and Cider. And we're going to be hearing from Randy Booth of Hobbs Tavern over in Ossipee. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with the Taste Buds, Carol and Michelle. Steve Freeman is in the house in place of Michelle. Dad is also in the house. It is time for our beer segment with Jay Phelps of Ancient Fire Mead and Cider. And I believe you have joining us today on the line, Randy Booth of Hobbs Tavern. So I'm going to let you take it away there, Jason.
Absolutely, yeah. We should definitely bring Randy in. I'd like to have him tell us a little bit about what's going on at Hobbs, and we're also going to talk a little bit about IPA today. So thanks for having me back on the show. Randy, are you with us?
I'm here.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us today. So why don't we kick off? Why don't you tell us a little bit about Hobbs Tavern and what you guys brew and what your philosophy is there for craft beer?
Sure. I'm the head brewer up at Hobbs. I've been there for about a year and a half now. We're a brew pub that serves, we have about almost 400 seats up in West Ossipee, New Hampshire. We're right on Route 16, so right just south of the White Mountains, not too far from Conway. But we usually have 12 taps flowing. One is always cider, 11 is always our beer. We kind of, as a brew pub, we have the luxury of sort of brewing whatever we want and kind of whatever kind of floats our boat, we put on tap, which is great. So we do a lot of, you know, IPAs. We do some sours, a lot of dark beers this time of year. We're also canning our beer now. So for about a year now, we've been canning and distributing our cans throughout the state of New Hampshire. So we've got a few different styles in cans at the moment. So we're kind of doing a little bit of everything. We're doing the brew pub game. We're doing the canning and distribution. As well as kegs across the state. So we're kind of a mixed bag of everything right now. But, yeah, we have a great variety at the Hobbs.
Is that something new, Randy? This is Carol. Canning your own beer? Because I never heard that. Is that something that you craft brewers do?
Yeah, that's actually the big thing right now is actually finding, you know, six-pack cans or four-pack cans. We brew into six-pack, 12-ounce cans. A lot of breweries are doing four-pack 16-ounce cans, but right now the consumers really want, you know, that aluminum can, which used to be a big thing back in, you know, the 80s, 90s, and then people got into bottles, and now people are out of bottles and back in the can. So, yeah, it's definitely a popular thing these days.
I think of a can, and I think of, like, a Schlitz.
Right. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it is interesting. Canning is a huge thing right now. I mean, we've got a lot of people asking us sort of in our pre-opening phase, are you guys going to be able to can your stuff? Well, eventually when we make enough per batch that it makes it viable to do it, yes, but not immediately. And I'm bemused by that because I would have thought, especially for something like Mead and Cider, that people would be even more concerned about the potential association with the aluminum can. But thankfully for the craft brewers and their fans, they've actually done us a huge favor, and it's actually the ideal target for people. It is a little bit better for the environment, and you can take cans of stuff more places than you can bottles and safely wield them.
It's true.
So
that
it does make
true.
A lot of sense once you start thinking
I
about
just
it.
didn't hear of them doing that. I've heard of the growlers, but not as far as, you know, the cans, six pack or four pack of cans.
Aren't most cans today lined anyway? Yeah, so the beverage is not in contact with raw aluminum.
Yeah, that is correct, and that is a point of analysis for many breweries as well, is finding a canning company that, you know, can reliably deliver the type of product, because, you know, you're talking about manufacturing those on an industrial scale, and there certainly are, you know, quality fluctuations and quality issues. New producers may or may not necessarily, you know, reach their optimal level of quality early on. So, you know, people do have to keep an eye out for the quality of that package, mm-hmm. because if you do have issues with the lining, it can introduce problems into the product.
Sure,
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I like a can.
Do you?
I will have a beer and I'll eat a bottle. I really don't even, I don't like it. It's not as cold. I don't care what anybody says. That can is cold. And, you know,
especially if you put it in, I guess, a little koozie.
I just love it.
You know,
I just love
like
it. Yep. Now, and it carries easy. You know, if you want to carry it, it handles easy.
Aluminum cans are lighter. I mean,
bottle to get rid of them. It's clunk.
Randy, how long has Hobbs Tavern been around?
We've been brewing for a little over 3 years now. The restaurant's been up for going on 4. We are in place of, it used to be the Whittier House restaurant. So we've been basically, once the Whittier House went out of business, we kind of took over and turned it into Hobbs. So it's actually named after the Hobbs family that has kind of been all over the state of New Hampshire. So there's actually a lot of ties to Hobbs throughout the state. Throwback Brewery in Hampton is on Hobbs Farm, and Tuckerman's Brewery in Conway is actually on Hobbs Street, which is all in the same family.
So there's a lot of history there. I did look up the website and the menu, and I love the tagline. I think Daryl and I are going to have to go check it out. You know, you say an idyllic country tavern and brew house offering warmth, history, classic comfort food, and handcrafted beer at the foot of the New Hampshire White Mountains. It just sounds so inviting.
It
just sounds so inviting. And I do have one question. When I looked at the menu, it looks fantastic. I mean, you have anything from steaks to, you know, appetizers / tapas, you know, ideas. What is this IPA hummus? That caught my eye.
Yeah. The IPA hummus is a new addition to the menu. We just changed the menu a couple weeks ago. Our chef, Jason Baum, is incredibly talented, and he kind of went through and made a big swooping change on both the dinner and lunch menus. But, yeah, the IPA hummus, he actually uses our Swift River IPA. That's one of the beers that we can, is available across the state. He uses those cans, that beer, to actually make the hummus. And it's got, like, this, you know, a little bit of citrusiness to it, but it's got, like, kind of that hot bitterness as well. So, you know, he plays around with ideas all day long, and I'm usually the beneficiary of those ideas. So he'll be like, oh, I'm playing with this beer and this food or whatever.
Feel free to call me anytime.
It's definitely a benefit of the job. But, yeah, he just made that hummus one day, and everyone seemed to love it, and now it's on the menu.
Wow, sounds fun. Sounds
you
fun.
Did say a 400 seats.
Yeah, so we
That's
have
a lot.
That.
We,
that is a lot. Wow, yeah, I didn't hear that.
We have almost 400 seats. We have a full bar downstairs, and then we have an upstairs area that we use primarily for functions that also has a bar. But we do a lot of weddings, special events. We're doing dueling pianos on New Year's Eve, which
fine.
Will be a big blast. Summertime, that's, you know, Great usually place. Full upstairs. Slower months, you know, we're doing special events and whatnot up there.
Definitely sounds like a fun place.
Yeah, definitely. Got to check
it
out.
I was lucky enough to visit it.
It's beautiful. I'm biased, but I think it's one of the most beautiful restaurants in the state of New Hampshire. And it's definitely one of those places you walk in, especially in the winter when we got the fireplace going. You walk in, get the warmth of the fireplace, and, you know, the whole place is wood, and it's very comfortable and cozy, and you can drink a beer that was brewed right downstairs. So it's a nice atmosphere.
Cool.
We're going to take a quick break. Randy, you want to stay with us so we can get in on the conversation about IPA? All right, we'll grab you when we come back.
All right, you're listening to Food for Thought. It's our beer segment. Oh, so we don't have another break.
Not yet. Oh, well.
Sorry. So we're good. I thought we did. Sorry.
All right. Well, we'll keep rolling then. Absolutely.
Keep rolling.
So we're talking about IPA. So it's an acronym. So let's break that down for anybody who doesn't know what it is. An India Pale Ale. That's the name of what IPA stands for.
Oh.
It's an old style of beer. It was an English invention designed so that their beer could make the long trip to places like India and other parts of their empire at the time, because long ocean voyages would not otherwise be friendly to beer, because as many people may not necessarily know, hops actually have a very profound preservative effect, which is why they're actually in beer. So what they would do was brew these relatively regular, maybe above average strength batches of beer, and then they would hop them heavily in their barrels, put them on a ship, send them all the way over to India, and by the time they got there, they were ready to drink. So that's where it came, the name came from.
IPA.
So is IPA, would that be one of the beers that, so they're very hoppy? Like it's,
yes.
It's, so the, okay, so that's kind of the beer that I don't really care for. I always forget which one I like or which one I don't like. But so IPA is hoppy.
It is, and the American version of it has certainly taken what the English started to, I would say, an extreme, but more of a, not a bad place, but an extreme place of creativity. You know, we have black IPAs, red IPAs, session IPAs, double IPAs, you know, all of these various styles. And one that's really, really caught fire in the last year, 2 years, is a New England style IPA. And everyone's like, oh, what in the world is that? And it's a twist on how you use the hops. So it's a heavily hopped beer, but when you apply them at the process of making the beer, impacts how bitter they are. So they're trading off bitterness for flavor. So they're using the hops later in the process of producing the beer that produces more flavor. They're using lots of hops after the beer has been brewed, which then imparts lots and lots of aroma. And then the beer has a very different profile to it. It's also very cloudy, typically for the style. So people that aren't familiar with it can look at it and be like, should I be drinking this glass of beer? It almost looks like it might be chunky, and it shouldn't be. But, you know, if you can it and there's a lot of hop material in it from when you've dry hopped it, it's impossible you might have, you know, some hop particles floating in it. And if it's fresh, they should taste good.
You know? Where's the percentage to use? Is it like 20%, 10%?
Do you mean alcohol?
Yeah. No. Oh. Hops. Usage. Uh-oh. You have an idea? You
know, like, I mean, hops.
You go in, that's what I hear it at Jay's. Oh, IPA is.
It's all over the place.
It's strong.
And an English IPA actually probably will be a lot less hoppy than many American styles these days. So it you know, much to the chagrin of the English, we've definitely taken it and run with it. Randy, what kind of IPAs do you guys make at Hobbs?
We make a little bit of everything. We always try to have at least two or three IPAs on because it is the most popular style really in America right now. So we do a New England style IPA called Hijack. That's in cans and across the state periodically. We just released our double IPA called Pitch a Tent. That just hit stores this week. And then we do, you know, American IPA. We have a black IPA coming out soon that we've done a few times. We've done session IPAs, which are lower alcohol IPAs. We've done session New England IPAs, which are hazy and, you know, everything that was just described, but with a lower alcohol percentage. So we do a variety of everything. And that's part of the fun thing. That's what IPA, the definition has really sort of been lost over the years, because you can have anything from a crystal clear IPA that's 8% to a pitch black IPA that's 4%, and you know, there's so many different ways to brew an IPA, and it makes it, for me as a brewer, a lot of fun.
You guys, like, you know, I envy you brewers, because you can be so creative. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can, you know, there's like this gamut, you know, from X to, you know, Y to Z. Like, what I want now, when you're making your, you know, your batch, your recipe, I mean, scientifically, you must have to write things down, because what if, oh my gosh, this is like an awesome batch. Like when I cook, I wing it, make it different every single time. So when it comes out really, really good, it's like, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to repeat that? Like, I won't be able to make that again. So what, like, let's say you come up with this really great IPA beer and you have to brew it again. Like, do you write all this stuff, you know, because isn't it pretty scientific?
Yeah, there's a lot of science behind brewing beer. For us, we use software to actually build the recipe. You know, I might have an idea in my head, and I build the recipe.
I get it.
How I want the flavors to sort of come out. And then as I brew, you know, I kind of update that recipe log, and then I can kind of look back and say, okay, I brewed this, you know, 3 months ago. This is what I did. But, you know, my tasting notes say more of this hop, less of this hop, or
you know, maybe we want more bitterness next time, and then we kind of manipulate as we go through the brewing stages.
Okay. I'm picturing Jay with a notebook.
Well, it certainly starts with that. And these pieces of software are really actually very cool because all of the complex, you know, chemistry and scientific reactions that are going on here, these pieces of software help you estimate the potential of that. So you can actually put in, well, what if I decided to use a larger amount of hops at this stage? It will give you a sense of what will happen to your beer along a couple different scales. Hops are actually, in the bitterness in beer related to hops is measured in a scale. It's called International Bittering Units. So this software will actually predict for you what a change in that recipe would be. So an experienced brewer can have a sense in their mind of what would happen with that. So you can do a lot of what ifs and then say, okay, now I think I'm gonna brew this one. And if it doesn't work out well, you can go back and recalibrate it and try it again and inch closer and closer to this ideal that you may have in your mind of how to be able to do this. So as much as we're very creative, we do have some tools that we sit on that actually help us really understand what it is that we're doing and hopefully help us make fewer mistakes, which is poor recipe construction. Because after 15 years, I can tell you in the first 5 years I started doing it, my recipes were horrible. I had some real duds because I didn't understand what I was doing.
Right.
And then you get someone to show you how these software works or you know what the relationships are between these ingredients, and then you start making much, much more informed decisions about how to fit them together, and the beer definitely gets better once you have a good understanding of that.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Dad's dying to ask you something.
What is a hop? Where do you get it? And how many, where do you get in this array? Is it a something that grows, I imagine?
Hop? It's like a little pine cone, right?
Yeah, it's what it looks like.
Nobody knows that.
It's a hot commodity
these
days. We're
at the top of the hour.
All right, so now we have to take a commercial break. Do we want to come back for a couple minutes afterwards?
We can't.
All right. Well, Randy, thank you very much for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you.
Randy, thank you so much, and I can't wait to get over to Hobbs Tavern.
Same with me.
And
I'll
Jay,
be there.
I can't wait. Next time when you're on, you should be really into the construction of Ancient Fire Mead and Cider.
Absolutely.
So I want to talk a little bit about that next time you're on.
Thank you very much.
Top of the hour. We'll be back. Stay tuned.